free.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Folks, I was wrong. I made a mistake. I now realize that actually we should eliminate Montana state income taxes on Social Security income. Yesterday, it was the first I'd ever heard about it. I was trying to celebrate the great tax cuts for all Montanans, including Social Security recipients, that Governor Jean Forte signed yesterday, that the Republican legislature passed. But I was wrong. I thought about this last night, and my thought process was basically, you know, I believe in cutting taxes, and I was thinking about this. I'm like, you know, why was it that I reacted that way, and sort of, what's the best policy here? And here's kind of the conclusion I came to, which is that any argument to cut taxes, and for specific instances and for specific people and for specific reasons, is a good argument. Let's make that argument. It's a tax cut. Let's go and make that argument. And there's lots of other arguments for lots of other people in lots of other specific situations that deserve tax cuts. What about eliminating state income tax on single mothers? You know, what about eliminating state income tax for XYZ people? You know, there's all those good arguments, and we should support them all. And so I just wanted to say, everybody out there, I made a mistake. I was wrong. It's a good idea to eliminate state income taxes on Social Security income. Just wanted to get that out there. If you want to call in and comment, 406-294-0970. I still think it's wonderful what the Republicans in the legislature and what Governor Jean Forte just did, passing across the board tax cuts for all Montanans. We're all if you're married, getting up to potentially up to $3,500 back that you otherwise wouldn't have had, plus permanent tax relief going forward. Lots of really good things. Hey, got a couple of messages on the Montana Talk site. By the way, we are at the beginning of the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to play the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. You're not going to want to miss this. We've also got some important issues kind of coming out that may require our involvement to help the legislature push through some of this stuff. So wait till that beginning of the 8 o'clock hour. You're not going to want to miss that. We got a message here from Right On John in Livingston. He says, I am 1% black, so am I eligible for the reparations out west? You couldn't pay me enough to move to a woke city or state unless to wake them up. Right on, John. Thank you. So we were talking about San Francisco going full bore on reparations. San Francisco is supporting payments of $5 million to every eligible black adult, the complete elimination of all personal debt and tax burdens, guaranteed annual incomes of at least $97,000 for 250 years, and homes in San Francisco for just $1 a family. Now, to answer Right On John's question, there are some eligibility determinations that would need to be made. I don't think you would qualify, Right On John. Got another message here on the Montana Talks app. I'll read it right when we get back. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
Liberal Senator John Tester pretends to be just an everyday everyman, but yet he's racked up over $1.2 million in restaurant bills at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. You know, I'll tell you what, that's why I'm really glad I went through Billings' last diet. Because, you know, man, I got back from my last deployment, I was putting on the pounds and couldn't get them off. And, you know, the thing is when you get in that lifestyle where you just eat too much, it also gets to be really expensive, especially with the John Tester Biden inflation that we've got going on right now. So thanks to Billings' last diet, not only did I lose 33 pounds in under 3 months, I've kept it off 4 years later, but I'll bet you I've saved a lot of money. I've saved a lot of money where I'm not just going to get fast food because I feel like I need to eat right now. You save money, you lose weight. But more importantly, it's about your health. It's about being around for your kids and your grandkids. Check it out. It's the program that works. BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. Hey, sky stay overcast today. We'll see areas of rain and wet snow. Accumulations of an inch or two in the Bozeman area. Any amount stay less than an inch in Billings by this evening. Meanwhile, temperatures will stay steady or falling to around 30 degrees through the day in the Bozeman area. High stay near 40 into Billings. For tonight, with some snow shower activity, especially before midnight, accumulations stay at an inch or less around the region. For tonight, low temperature readings will range from around 19 in Bozeman to 24 into the Billings area. And the outlook for Thursday does call for a mix of clouds and sunshine. High temperatures on Thursday back to about 32 degrees in Bozeman with highs near 40 degrees in Billings. Conditions stay quiet into Thursday night as well. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, spring building season, if you happen to be in the market for a new building, check out our friends at Aldrich Lumber. They've got a couple of crews that have been with them now for over 10 years. But if you're looking to build an indoor riding arena, or maybe you want a calving barn or a lambing barn so that you're not stuck out in the cold next winter. Or maybe, you've got a boat or a camper that you're looking to get out this summer and you want to keep it out of the elements. You want to store it out of the sun just like you want to keep it out of the snow. Well, they can even build a shop for you out back. So check out our friends AldrichLumber.com. They've built everything from a 30 by 40 to a 72 by 200 and everything in between.
Yeah, I know. Sean is the host, but the real star is Linda, the producer. Catch them both on The Sean Hannity Show, weekday afternoons 1 to 4 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got another message here from Lightbrows in Hardin. He says, "Am I surprised that the Dems are opposed to vaccine freedom because they're all in favor of gender choice?" Thank you, Lightbrows in Hardin. Yeah, no, that reminds me of the thing that was in the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, the political cartoon that was in the Committee to Unleash Prosperity's hotline yesterday, where it showed a Democrat saying that they were pro-choice. And then they had all of these bumper stickers, mandated vaccines, mandated this, banned guns, all of these different things. And so, of course, the Democrats are not in favor of choice. Again, it's just like there's so much demagoguery by the left. They have to lie about their own positions. They have to lie about the facts. They have to lie about the data, because otherwise they will get absolutely politically defeated. And I always, this kind of also reminds me of this thing about how if the Democrats are ever able to win elections while being openly leftist and not pretending to be moderates or conservatives, that's when we're in trouble. When the Democrats stop pretending to support freedom, because that's how, let's be real, the Democrats win elections by pretending to support freedom. That's how they win elections. That's how John Tester wins elections. That's how Joe Biden, they support freedom and liberty, and that's what they say they believe in. And that's just not true. They don't believe in that. They're authoritarians. They believe in mandates. They believe in, this is the easiest way to make policy if you're a Democrat, okay? And I thought of this, and I was like, this is so perfect. This is such a perfect example of how you decide. It's so easy to be a Democrat, okay? There's really only two types of policies that Democrats will support, okay? And this is what you do if you're a Democrat. You ask yourself, do I like something or do I not like something? If you like it, then you mandate it. And if you don't like it, then you ban it. And that's every single issue. You can go down the list, go down to every single policy that you can think of, every single political issue. And if the Democrats like it, they want it mandated for everybody. If they don't like it, they want it banned for everybody. And it's just that simple. It's that straightforward. It's that easy. It's that easy to come up with Democrat policy positions. Here's another bill that's referenced in this hit piece by Kaiser Health News that's posted on Q2, Republican Jennifer Carlson, the sponsor of HB 715 and 2021's vaccine freedom law, cast doubt on whether HB 715 would significantly affect vaccination rates. She said that the state has a up to 97% vaccination rate despite existing medical and religious exemptions, which is exactly what I said. I mean, we're talking like in a free country, it's not too much for us to bear to allow people that have genuine religious and conscience objections to not be forced to have injections put. I mean, think about the image in your mind of a government agent basically tackling somebody, holding them down, and then jabbing them with the needle and injecting them with something they don't want. I mean, that's not how it actually happens and how it actually works, but that type of an image is, in practice, it's the equivalent. The effect is the equivalent of that. A government agent tackling somebody, holding them down, and then injecting them into their body with something they don't want. That's the functional equivalent. And again, I agree with Jennifer Carlson, Republican Representative Jennifer Carlson. If you allow religious exemptions and conscience objections to vaccines, you're still going to get 97% of children to get their MMR vaccines. That's not going to change. What we're talking about here is situations where people have genuine medical, religious, conscience objections, and they're getting denied with malice. People are denying them intentionally just to bug them. That's what we're trying to prevent. That's what these bills are. In 2018-2019 school year, 96% of Montana kindergartners were vaccinated against MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella. 3% excused under religious exemptions. So why is this some huge horrible thing to allow vaccine freedom? It really is something else. And this bill goes on and on and on about all of this stuff. And this article just goes on and on and on about all of these issues. And it's really not that complicated of an issue. But, you know, when they've got to spend that many pages on it, you know something weird is going on. Another bill in the Montana legislature to open up more walk-up campsites in Montana. And this is sailing through. This is also Kayla Spaler, which we know. I remember Aaron Flint last week talking about Kayla Spaler, basically saying that she's Aaron, I think, said that he basically respects her, even though she works for the liberal blog Daily Montanan, but tries to do a good job. Helping Montanans have a better shot at camping in state parks is a popular idea. House Bill 440, which would limit the number of reserved campsites at 80% and in order to allow more walk-ups, passed unanimously in committee and then passed unanimously in the House. This is an issue that is just so annoying. When you want to go camping in Montana and they've got reservation systems and the reservations are all full, but then you go out there and there's nobody there. That's what this is about. The camping situation is definitely got to get better. I remember growing up, you could always go camping and find a place. Not so much anymore.
.com. ThompsonPools.com. Remember, if it isn't a Thompson pool, it ain't worth a dip. Thompson Pools.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
The Fairness for Farmers campaign, a project by the National Farmers Union along with the Montana Farmers Union, is working to fight the monopoly crisis, as they call it, in American agriculture. Montana Farmers Union President Walter Schweitzer shares more on the education campaign.
Well, I think it's been an important program that we've started, and it really is just talking about all the issues that family farms are facing all over the nation, and sharing our stories of the anti-competitive practices that many of these corporate monopolies have been, you know, really utilizing against not only the producers but the consumers as well, and it's starting to get traction, you know, when President Biden announced his his 72 executive orders that addressed anti-competitive practices, he mentioned fairness for farmers. And they actually now have a website that plays on the words fairness for farmers. So we are getting traction and it's working. And then much of what's happening right now in the USDA and the Department of Justice are addressing many of the concerns that we've brought up in our Fairness for Farmer campaign.
That was Montana Farmers Union President Walter Schweitzer on the Fairness for Farmers campaign. I'm Wayne Northmont.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. We've got unanimous support in the Montana legislature for allowing more campsites to not be subject to the reservation system. Representative Steve Gunderson, Republican from Libby, said the bill was aimed at creating more availability for Montanans who sometimes want to go camping spontaneously in the summer. That's hard to do because reservations fill up fast and well in advance. It would affect 12 of the 25 state parks that currently allow camping. Frankly, they ought to do the federal government on the National Forest campground side. They ought to do something similar to this. And frankly, that reminds me, I got to get my camping reservations. I got to go to reservation.gov and get my camping reservations for this summer. You need to be making those reservations now if you want to go camping, and especially being here in Billings. The campgrounds down in Red Lodge they're booked out. They're literally completely booked out maybe they already are. I may have to do that. And of course, the national parks, Yellowstone and Glacier, now becoming almost impossible for regular Montanans to visit. There's another bill, I think, talking about somehow giving the people of Montana, actual Montanans, priority to some of these issues. And I think that's a great idea. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if Montanans could actually go out and enjoy our outdoors and go to our national parks and go to our state parks and go to campgrounds and get the Smith River permit and do all that stuff? Wouldn't that be nice? That would be great. The majority of state parks have been developed in whole or in part with money from the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which does not allow residents to get ahead in line. Idaho settled on essentially doubling the cost of camping for non-residents, and they're also sort of dealing with some of these issues. The Montana Land and Water Conservation Fund has grants for a variety of projects, such as swimming pools, skate parks, trailheads, playground renovations. In 2021, Fish and Wildlife Parks used $1.3 million for the Summers Beach acquisition on Flathead Lake. Anyway, good bill right there going through the Montana legislature. And again, couple other bills. Let me see if I can find this other one about... Here was one I was going to mention too. Montana bill would take away Montana hunting licenses from shed hunting trespassers. There's a bill that could impose some pretty big consequences if you're caught trespassing while hunting for shed antlers. House Bill 548 would potentially increase. This is again from Q2. HB 548 would potentially increase the penalty for trespassing on private property during restricted dates from a misdemeanor to criminal trespassing. That could result in a hefty fine or even jail. Oh, come on, Q2. You know people aren't going to jail. Law enforcement won't even arrest you. At least this is my understanding from callers from other times. But you don't even get arrested for trespassing. We don't have the space. The jails are completely full. Maybe that's not the case everywhere, but I know certainly here in Billings, the jail is full. They don't have, they got to have that space for people that are violent and are a danger to the community. If you're just a trespasser, I'm pretty sure you don't get arrested. Maybe I'm wrong on that. If anybody wants to call in, 406-294-0970. But I think it's a good idea to basically take away hunting and fishing licenses if you trespass on private property while shed hunting. And it would take away your hunting, fishing, and trapping licenses in Montana for up to 24 months. It's aimed at stopping repeat offenders. It allows a judge or law enforcement officer to deal with the situation as it is. Farming and ranching folks, they have already told people to get off multiple times. They've already seen this guy. They know it by the time they're calling law enforcement. They've already told them multiple times. In most cases, people are accidentally walking on there. They're told, hey, get off. They're okay. You know, that's the ethical hunter that we want to be able to deal with to make sure that those aren't being taken advantage of. So, again, just tons of different bills right now going through the Montana legislature. Some good ones have failed to make it through as well. For example, Senate kills Medicaid work requirements bill, passes dozens of others ahead of the transmittal deadline. So there's this bill, Senate Bill 465, would have directed the state to implement community engagement requirements or work requirements for Medicaid, which passed or which failed, which is somewhat unfortunate. But we got more to talk about, more bills to talk about in the legislature, a bunch of other interesting stories. Meanwhile, Russia straight up attacking America over the Black Sea. This is David Noble in for Aaron Flint. Special on our first date in a
Waffle House booth. News. I'm Lillian Wu. They're selling to start the day on Wall Street, where investors are rattled by European banking worries. There are, however, hints of easing inflation in prices producers pay.
Month to month, February PPI headline negative 0.1. We were looking for a gain for that. Year over year, a gain of 4.6%, but that is a lot weaker than the expectation from economists who were looking for 5.4%.
Fox's Cheryl Cassone. Retail sales, meanwhile, fell 0.4%. There's a manhunt underway for a former Maryland official,
Roy McGrath, who was once the chief of staff to former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. McGrath was supposed to appear in court at his trial on wire fraud and embezzlement charges in Baltimore on Monday, but didn't show up. That's when a federal judge issued a warrant for his arrest, and the marshals launched an interstate fugitive manhunt for him.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, to be fair to the legislature, they did not impose work requirements on Medicaid because there is a concern that Biden and Tester would essentially rip all federal Medicaid funding from Montana if we simply said, hey, if you want to get free health care paid for by your neighbor, you know, you need to be working or trying to work if you're an able-bodied person. To me, that sounds perfectly reasonable. Why is it that somebody who's able-bodied and able to work, why should they get health care paid for by all of us taxpayers when we have to shell out insane amounts of money for our health insurance and our health care if they're not working and if they're not trying to work? So, but apparently Biden and Tester won't allow it to happen. And so this SB 465 failed on a 24-26 vote. And unfortunately, the reason is because Centers for Medicaid Services at the federal government run by Biden and Tester would not have allowed this and basically would have taken away funding, and this would have been a $1.1 billion state-funded Medicaid program. And so that failed, which is somewhat unfortunate. There was another incident. They talk about Senator Bob Brown, Republican Thompson Falls, silenced the Senate floor during a discussion of Missoula Democrat Senator Shane Margeau's bill to remove the statute of limitations for people to file civil claims tied to their sexual abuse. I thought that already happened. I honestly was under the impression that Montana already passed laws changing the statute of limitations for child sex abuse. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they just extended it to like 25 years. But I thought that was an issue previously. But Senator Bob Brown told the the body that he was abused as a child and could not bring himself to tell anyone about the abuse later, until later in life. He says, I'm an expert on what this does to kids. I've been there, done that, and I don't want to see it happen to someone again. There was a discussion about how person's memory could become foggy over the years, and there was an issue about being able to bring tort claims years or even decades. Look, this is one of the most horrific things, and it happens way too often. These people should all be in prison for the rest of their life if they actually abused a child. That is one thing where these people should go to jail prison for the rest of their lives. If you do that, that is one of the worst things anybody could do. So the reality is that hopefully these people, by the time the child reaches adulthood, hopefully those people are locked away in prison for the rest of their life and they don't have any money to pay civil tort claims. But we should allow them to pursue those civil tort claims. Open phones, 294-0970. This is David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Russia literally shooting or literally attacking and taking down American military aircraft over the Black Sea. And what is Biden doing about it? Nothing that I can see. Very strange that the Russian jet dumped fuel on this drone and then ran into it, damaging it and causing it to go down. Really, Biden not doing anything about it. Really strange. Let's go to the phones. We got Julia in Three Forks. Julia, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I think it's funny with the fuel dump. And in a way, I think that it was actually them doing the proverbial peeing on our drone before they knocked it from the sky. But I think it's interesting the way so many of our politicians, television figures, they want to go on about how this is, you know, Russia being aggressive towards our military, when I find it fascinating that no one remembers who blew up whose pipeline just so many months ago, causing one of the greatest environmental catastrophes we've ever experienced.
Right.
So I just want to have people take pause when they want to say that Russia's being the aggressor, when we've already blown up a pipeline in the aggressor position of this war.
Yeah, fair point. Although I certainly don't attack America on foreign policy, overseas issues, when we're dealing with an evil country like Russia and like Putin. And I do think it appears likely that the United States did blow up that pipeline. We don't know that for sure. I don't think that's not 100%. Obviously, the U.S. government disputes it. But, you know, who cares if the United States is aggressive with Russia? They're our enemy. They invaded an ally. They keep political prisoners. They arrest anybody. They kill their political opposition. They poison their political opponents. Putin is a dictator. He hates America. He's our enemy. And so why are we going to complain if the U.S. is aggressive with our enemies? Weakness is the problem, not strength. Ronald Reagan talked about peace through strength. America should be so strong and so aggressive and so unpredictable that Russia would never dare do something like this. Why is it that it's always under Democrat presidents where this stuff happens and we do nothing in response? This never happened under Trump. Remember when the Iranians captured a U.S. Navy ship and arrested U.S. Navy personnel and then released that embarrassing picture of U.S. military personnel on their knees with their hands on their heads and controlled by the Iranians? That happened under President Obama. That didn't happen under a Republican. Do you remember Iran or Russia attacking America on international, on the high seas and in international waters under Trump? No, it didn't happen. So, you know, the fact that this is totally inappropriate what Russia did here. This is international waters. America has every right to have reconnaissance drones flying over the Black Sea. And Russia dumping fuel on it and then bringing it down is totally unacceptable. And for somebody to try to blame America for that, I think is inappropriate. It's the same with the whole thing. This notion that, oh, well, America's the bad guy because America has allies in NATO and we were expanding NATO and Russia didn't like that. Of course our enemies don't like it when we become powerful and have allies. That's not a reason to not have allies. And of course Russia is unhappy with American support for Ukraine and American support for our allies in Europe. But who cares? Russia's our enemy. We don't care if they're unhappy about it. Let's go back to the phones. We got Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks for calling.
Morning, Mr. Noble. I slightly disagree with you. I think it is okay to criticize a foreign policy when it is flawed because, like you said, this is happening under Democratic administration, and I think that this administration's foreign policy towards everybody is flawed. And at this point, you know, I'm almost to the point where I believe the Russian story more than I believe our own military and media story, because Russians aren't telling me that a man can become a woman and that it's okay for it's not okay to be white, and this white nationalist is the biggest threat to our military and all this other garbage that our military is spouting out there for all the woke agenda crap. Russia's not trying to sell us that stuff. That's our own military and our own woke media telling us that stuff. So, you know, lie to me once, shame on me, you know, or fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice. Yeah, I sound just like George Bush.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I believe in supporting America. What can I say? I support America. And when we've got America dealing with international relations and foreign policy, I stand behind America. I think some of this sense out there that, oh, I support Russia and blah. Why would you support America's enemies? We're dealing with war. We're dealing with war and peace, and we've got people that literally are supporting America's enemies and taking our enemies' sides in international war. Okay, the word treason is thrown around a lot, especially by certain types of populists in America who like to call everybody treason. But actually supporting America's enemies in a war, That's actually what treason is. If America is in, and of course we're not in a war with Russia, so technically it doesn't apply. But it's certainly a lot closer than calling somebody a treasonous traitor, you know, because you disagree with them on politics. But of course it's okay to criticize foreign policy, and of course it's okay to question American foreign policy. Of course that's fine, and I never said we can't do that, and if I did, I misspoke. What I'm talking about is literally taking our enemies' sides in international relations. That's what I'm opposed to, is literally taking our enemies. I support America, and of course America has got corruption problems. But it's nothing compared to how evil Russia and China are. I think a lot of this sense of, oh, you know, America is just as corrupt as Russia and China, I think that's a very, very uninformed, ignorant position. Yes, America's got its problems. But when we're dealing with foreign policy and America dealing with evil enemies like Russia and China, I'm going to side with America every time. Thank you very much. Jim in Belgrade. Jim, thanks for calling.
Yeah, David, thanks for taking my call. I guess I had a couple issues I wanted to discuss. I guess one, I agree wholeheartedly with this camping issue that you talked about earlier, about the legislation that's going to provide more non-reservation spots, I guess.
Yeah, same.
We've been struggling with that for years, and in fact, it's a reason we're considering leaving the state, just because in our latter years, we're not able to really do the things we want to do. We've lost freedoms in this state because of the camping regulations that I'm sure the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks are just tickled with it because the money keeps flowing in. But, you know, we've lost freedom to go camp when we want to in this state, basically. And that's one of the things that a lot of people really enjoy about Montana.
Absolutely.
on another point, I guess I agree or disagree quite strongly with you regarding Ukraine. I don't consider Ukraine an ally of the United States at all. Neither is Russia, obviously, but Ukraine is on record publicly. Their officials, administrative officials in their government are on record of supporting a new world order for their country and wanting to move in that direction. They're nothing at all like a democratic country. They're ruled right now by a socialistic government, even though that's well hidden in the press and well hidden everywhere else. And basically, I think, you know, they've done enough bad things in the past in regards to past elections and past other things that have happened in this country that they may be considered an ally of the Democrat Party, but I don't consider them an ally of the United States of America at all. I think the
okay, so,
in that way is a joke.
So you fundamentally disagree with Donald Trump's foreign policy. You disagree with Ronald Reagan's foreign policy. Donald Trump, of course, was the one that first sent Ukraine weapons. Donald Trump and the Republicans were the ones that criticized Obama for sending blankets to Ukraine. Meanwhile, Donald Trump sent absolutely incredible amounts of weaponry and ammunition to Ukraine. So if you want to disagree with Trump's foreign policy and America First foreign policy, you know, everybody's free to do so. But and nobody said Ukraine's perfect. Nobody said that there's nothing to criticize about Ukraine. Of course you can sit there and criticize. But, you know, if you want to say they're not an ally, fine, they're a partner, okay? I'll give you that. Lots of people they're literally the number one recipient of U.S. military foreign aid. Lots of people consider them an ally. Maybe they're just a partner. But you want to call and criticize countries, but you're not going to say one bad word about Russia and Putin, which is an evil, evil dictatorship that kills its political opponents and wants to destroy America?
News commentary.
Texas is urging spring breakers not to go to Mexico because it's all fun and sun until someone gets kidnapped. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
New from the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
And I really hope that I can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the stories that keep you up at night.
I'm going to say something very bluntly. Mexico is not safe. I'm not the only one warning you either. Texas officials have put out a memo to spring breakers, don't go to Mexico. Recent cartel activity, violence, and day-to-day crime and corruption in that country makes it unsafe for Americans and especially young people looking to get drunk and party. And I've heard all the excuses before. It's safe in the resort areas. It's safe if you're in a group. No, it's not. My friend Taylor Meyer was stabbed to death in Mexico 4 years ago in the upscale resort town of Playa del Carmen, and he was traveling with a large group for a friend's birthday. Yes. It is dangerous in American cities, but newsflash, when you go to a foreign country, and especially a foreign country with a corrupt government, if something happens to you, you are largely on your own. You know what? Florida is beautiful this time of year, kiddos. You don't need to risk your life to party in Mexico over spring break. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
You're talking a lot about senior citizens and people that are now on Social Security. Here you are, you finally got the time to do everything that you've wanted to do, but then you don't feel like you can do everything that you've always wanted to do because of pain, because of an achy back, because of achy joints. Well, let me tell you about an option that is now available in Montana. I'm talking about QC Kinetics. They've got over 100 clinics all across America, but they're now here on the ground in Montana, and they specialize in something known as regenerative medicine, where they use the healing properties from your own body to heal your own body. They're now here. It's wildly popular. Pro athletes have been using them for years. It'll get you moving again without surgery, without the pain meds, and without the downtime. Call QC Kinetics now, 406-201-6263. QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263.
Your News Talk 97.
Here to work.
Call BD Equipment Services, 406-201-7711. Online at BDEquipmentBLGS.com.
This is where Montana talks.
Jim in Great Falls. Jim, what's on your mind?
I don't understand the program. They legalize marijuana and then take the majority of the tax money to make a treatment facility. So then they legalize gambling, and then they have a gambling treatment center, but then you can also write off if you lost. We create the problem. We feed the problem.
There you go, right there.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Let's go straight to the phones. We've got Ann in Billings. Ann, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm probably nervous, so I'll try not to stumble over my words, but if you called Donald Trump himself, he would reprimand you for chewing out that last caller. We're not in love with Russia, but Ukraine is not our ally either. Maybe a partner, but a couple things. If you follow Big Sky Liberty Alliance, you'll start to find people who are woke to the, say woke, but who are awake to the fact that globalists are at play. Globalists are laundering money through Ukraine, from what I can gather. I'm not real good at proof on that. The other thing, if you watch, from what I understand, we are demilitarizing America by shipping, I don't know, like most of our military tanks and such to Ukraine. So not that I'm in love with Russia, not that we support Russia, but call Donald Trump and you find out a little bit more about the globalists at play. And Ukraine is not an innocent little country. So it's a complicated issue. I'm not real good on it. I'm pretty rudimentary in my words with it. But just beware and just study up on globalists, who are right in line with China, Bill Gates, Soros, and the like. Nancy Pelosi, Biden, our middle management. Not that I am proud of Biden, Pelosi either, but there's a lot of things at play besides just a simplistic argument about Russia and Ukraine.
All right. Thank you for the call. There's no question that Ukraine. You can say Ukraine's not an ally. They're a partner. They're one of our strongest partners overseas. Poland is an ally. France is an ally. Germany is an ally. Britain is an ally. Canada is an ally. Australia is an ally. Japan is an ally. South Korea is an ally. And I believe in having allies and supporting our allies in defending. And it's like you can say, oh, I'm not in love with Russia. Well, I would certainly hope not. They're one of our worst enemies. They're literally one of our worst enemies and have been for a long time. And so you've got a country. How can you possibly support a country that invades another country? That's not okay. It's not okay for countries to just invade other countries. And I love this idea that, you know, people out there that they enjoy so much safety and security. All these folks, all of you folks out there, you guys are totally secure. We have very high levels of national security in America. We almost have zero to worry about in terms of an invasion of America. And the reason that we have such high levels of national security is because of U.S. foreign policy and the U.S. military, both of which I support. And if you're not willing to – and the thing that gets me is folks that enjoy national security, folks that have never had to worry about national security, are the first ones to then attack that which gave them their security. Very easy to sit here with total safety and security provided by the U.S. military and U.S. foreign policy and criticize them both. And if you actually think that we can upend American foreign policy since our founding, America has had a strong foreign policy literally for our founding, and you think we can just totally reverse that and do a 180-degree change, and we're still going to have the same safety and security that we enjoy today? I don't think so. I think a lot of this sense of hey, let's just withdraw from the rest of the world and let's not support our allies and let's not help countries that get invaded by our enemies. Let's just let Russia and China expand and let Russia and China continue to expand territorially. They're dictatorships, they're autocracies. They hate America. They hate constitutional republics. Let's just let them continue to expand territorially and just think everything's going to be fine. I think that's a result of America not being in a war for a very long time, and so people start to take it for granted. Let's go back to the phones. We got Matt in Billings. Matt, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Let me add one of the allies that I believe is a huge ally, and that would be Israel. I know the current foreign policy by this administration isn't, but Israel is a big ally of America.
True.
Before you went on break, you described Russia, killing their political enemies, and so forth. But the sad thing is that when you said that, that kind of sounded like America Today. Think about what the Justice Department's been doing to Republicans. Think about what the Democrats have been doing to Americans with mandatory jabs for our military and so forth.
Hey, we're up against the break. I think that is absolutely grotesque to compare America to Russia and a fundamental lack of understanding about how Russia really is. This is David Noble in for Aaron Flint.